Hare Hadari. Bhavad Bratsarava.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول الأذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة فلا تظلم نفس شيئا صلوات We have been talking about the subject of muhasabatu nafs, holding ourselves accountable in the holy month of Muharram and in Safar. And holding ourselves accountable means that on daily basis a mu'min is supposed to analyze his actions before going to sleep. We find out if we have performed any sins. We do the tawbah before sleeping. And the muhasaba is either done by the person himself in his life, and if we do the muhasaba successfully ourselves, we will then not be held accountable on the Day of Judgment. Whereas if you ignore the duty of muhasabatun nafs in the life of this world, then we will be held accountable there in Akhirat. So either we do the muhasaba ourselves in the life of this dunya and set ourselves free from the muhasaba of Allah, or if we fail to do that, we cannot run away from the muhasaba stage, we will be held accountable there. Hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu. Hold yourselves accountable before you are held accountable. Wazinu anfusakum qabla an tuzanu. That means weigh yourselves before you are weighed. So our amal, our actions, all the good deeds have a weight. Definitely the bad deeds have no weight. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ ثقلت موازينه فهو في عيشة راضية. The one who has thickle and weight in his measure, he will have a happy life. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ, and those whose measure is khafif and less weighty, doesn't have the weight. Here the Quran does not use the word وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ ثَقُلَتْ سَيِّئَاتُهُ, those who have their sins weighty. أَمَّا الَّذِينَ ثَقُلَتْ مَعَاصِيهِ, those who have their sins weighty. Quran did not say that, because there is no, as a matter of fact, our scholars of tafsir say that there is no weight for the sins of a person. So if a person commits the sins, what happens is that for the sinners, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ وَلِقَائِهِ فَحَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. They are the ones who have their actions dropping. All the amal, haptul amal, everything drops down and nothing remains. All the amal are gone. And what happens is that then Allah is not going to hold any weight for any of your actions. فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. So the bad deeds don't have any weight, you know, lying or tuhmat or hasad or ujb, khud pasandi, considering ourselves to be good by ignoring our faults, doing any other wrong in our life, isn't it right? These things have no weight. So it is the duty of a believer to hold himself accountable on daily basis. Ayatullah al-Uzma Sheikh Ja'far Shustari Rahmatullah Alayh, one of our great scholars in Urafa, and he's famous for his speeches that he used to deliver in the love of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And he's also famous for his book that he wrote, Al-Khasa'is Al-Husayniyyah. That means those specific attributes of Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam. And once he went on the minbar and he said to the audience that I can smell this as if something is burning. So people started to, such a great mujtahid sitting on the minbar, you know, mujtahid, you know, who has Sahib al-Risala al-Amaliyya, he has a book of fatwa. A mujtahid is the person who has his fatwa always, isn't it right? That's what we call a mujtahid. A mujtahid is a person who has his own personal ijtihad and research-based opinion, not ignorance-based opinion, where people end up, you know, expressing their opinions about various things of Islam although they are ignorant. This is not called fatwa. This is what is condemned in Islam. مَنْ أَفْتَى بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ مَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever issues a fatwa without knowledge, his place is hell. You cannot express your opinion about Islam. This is called fatwa, isn't it right? Your opinion about Islam. You cannot express your opinion in the name of Islam if you have ignorance. So, mujtahid is a person who has his comprehensive research-based opinions on every matter in all the 200 plus chapters of Islamic fiqh and jurisprudence, so that taqleed becomes haram on him. So he is not allowed to follow any other mujtahid. He himself is a mujtahid. This is the kind of person whom we call Ayatullah. Isn't it right? The person who crosses the first few years of education in the Hausa educational system, the first 9 years, we call him Hujjatul Siqatul Islam. If you call the stage of Satr, Sutuh, first 9 years of education up till the syllabus book of Kifayatul Usul, you're called Siqatul Islam. And if you cross the 9 years of education and then you reach into the Darsa Kharij, Bahsul Kharij, the highest stage of education in the Hausa educational system, and you complete your Bahs al-Kharij, then you are called Hujjatul Islam. And after completing your Darsi Kharij, if you sit at your home or continue education, whatever, and you start issuing your fatwas in every matter in all those 200 plus chapters, then you are called a mujtahid. And if you are followed by the ummah, the people, and you become a marji, then you are called Ayatullah al-Uzma. That's the sequence. Not a person who goes to the Hausa, any Hausa of Islam, you know, for 3 years, 4 years, or 5 years, they come back, you call him a Hujjat al-Islam. It's not going to work like this. So you need to know the process, what is followed. So when we say someone is a Ayatullah, is a Mujtahid, or Ayatullah al-Uzma, it's a terminology of the Hausa. It stands for somebody who is a Mujtahid, and he has his comprehensive fatwas. This is how usually it is said in the Hausa. And he has his book of fatwa as well, and is he being followed? So Ayatullah al-Uzma, Sheikh Ja'far Shustari, was sitting on the member and delivering his speech, and he said during the speech that, "I can smell something burning." People started to search things and look around, and some people went to see at the shoes. Some people even went outside to see if there's something burning. And then he said, "When I say I can smell the smell of something burning, you started to search what is burning till you can extinguish the flame. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in the Holy Quran about the hellfire being already lit, why are we not working hard to extinguish the flames of that fire?" Isn't that right? Please say salawat. So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Holy Quran, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. Those whose measure is heavy, they are in a happy life. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ. The one whose measure is low, it doesn't have a weight, it's khafif. فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٍ. So his place is Hawiya. What is Hawiya? وَمَا أَدْرَكَ مَا Hawiya. What will make you know what is Hawiya? And then Allah says, نَارٌ حَامِيَةٌ. A burning fire. So the fire is already there, it's burning. Isn't it right? So anyone who says the hellfire will be lit on the Day of Judgment, he's talking against the Holy Quran. This is not what the Quran has said. The hell and the heaven exist right now. This is what Quran teaches us. Because Quran says, Inna jahannama la muhitatum bil kafirin. And certainly the hell is engulfing the kafir people right now. La muhitatum means right now. Quran did not say, Inna jahannama sawfa tuhitu bil kafirin yawm al qiyamah. The hellfire is going to engulf all the kafir people on the Day of Judgment only. This is not what, obviously they will be in the hellfire on the Day of Judgment as well. But right now the heaven and hell exist. And the entire humanity are either right now, either in the hellfire or in the heaven, except those few people who are in the A'raf, who belong to the A'raf, the middle stage. Those are very few. So the entire humanity right now is either in the heaven or the hell. This is what we need to make sure, where do we belong. So it's a current issue that we're talking about. We're not talking about things which are related to akhirat only. It's incorrect to interpret Islamic teachings, you know, which concern to the Day of Judgment only. Islam is a religion that engulfs the life of dunya and akhirat both, and ensures the sa'ada, sa'adat mandi, and spiritual success in both the worlds. That's the religion called Islam. If you do the good deed, you get the reward even in the life of this world. In addition to the reward you're going to get in akhirat. If we do a bad deed, we will be punished. Mukafatul amal. Punishment and aftermath of the action. Even in the life of this world. In addition to what we are going to see in that world. This is how we need to interpret the teachings, because Islam engulfs dunya and akhirat both. So if you have this perspective that whatever we do has an impact straight away on my life, that means if I do a sin, if I lie, my soul gets burnt straight away immediately. Do people think like that on those lines? If people think on those lines, our behaviors would drastically change. Isn't it right? Because nobody, if somebody asks you to put your finger in the fire, it takes insanity for a person to put in his finger in the fire. Nobody would put his finger or hand in the fire. Isn't it right? Even a disbeliever, you know, a mushrik, even an atheist, agnostic. It's pure insanity to put your finger in the fire. So when Quran says, you know, that talks about the Jahannam, isn't it? The qu anfusakum wa ahlikum naran wa quduha an-nasu wal hijaratu u'iddat lil kafirin. Protect yourself. Qu anfusakum, protect yourselves, wa an ahlikum, and your family, naran wa quduha an-nasu wal hijara, from the fire whose firewood is humans and stone. The firewood of the hellfire is humans and stone. U'iddat lil kafirin. It's a done deal. It's already prepared. It's a done deal. It's there. It exists for the kafirin. So when it's already exists, then we get burned straight away and we get rewarded for the good deeds straight away. This is what it happens. And if our urafa were present, those who have the purification of the soul and the ma'rifat, and those who don't have the hijabat and curtains of sins on their souls, they would see a person literally speaking, stepping out his soul, stepping out of the hellfire, back on the straight path. Because every sin belongs to Jahannam. We can never do the sin while we are on the straight path, Siratun Mustaqeem, that we seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala minimum 10 times as wajib daily in 5-time prayers. Ihdana Sirat al-Mustaqeem. Minimum 10 times we say that sentence in the Fatiha, in the prayers, 5 times a day. Isn't it right? So constantly we're asking that. You can never do a sin if you are on the straight path. It's impossible for a person to do a sin while you are on the straight path. We step aside and get deviated. And when we get deviated, what is that zone called where there is a deviation from the straight path? The straight path is the path that is going through the hellfire. FYI. Straight path, Siratul Mustaqeem, is a bridge, it's a straight path, it's a walking line that is crossing through the hellfire, as a matter of fact. Or over the hellfire, two statements of our scholars of tafsir in Quran. So it is either over the hellfire or it's through the hellfire. In both ways, if you get deviated a little bit, everything on the right and the left is the flame of the fire. Whether inside or you're over it, still the flames are still there. So we get burned straight away. That's the result. So staying on the straight path, that's why we walk in the straight path, in the middle of the path always. And a Hanif, that's what we call Hanif. Isn't it right? Walking in the middle of the path, not on the sidelines of the straight path, because in the sidelines you are vulnerable to fall down. This is called mutajanif, you know, you are in the sides. So we are not asked by Allah to walk in the straight path on the sidelines of the straight path. Instead, we are supposed to walk in the middle of the straight path. This is what we are obliged to. So coming back to the points that the sin that a person performs, he steps away from the straight path, and that's why he does the sin. So when you step away, you get burnt from the soul. We don't see that our soul got burnt. That's a different story. That if we are unable to see, well, we don't see so many other things. Isn't it right? There's so much out there that we don't see. It's just a list of long list of countless things that we don't see. This is also added in that long list. Just because we don't see, who are we and what's the level of our knowledge? Just because we don't see, we can't deny that we didn't get burnt. The urafa can see a person doing the sin, his soul burning straight away right now in the flame of the fire. He can see the soul burning right now. This is maybe one of the reasons why Prophet never used to tolerate the sins of the people. He's walking in the marketplace, he's meeting with the people in the masjid, elsewhere, and he's looking at sinners like me. Prophet is Rahmatullah, I mean, he cannot tolerate people sinning. So he's always advising the people. So we do the tawbah. Remember the hadith which I mentioned in one of my previous speeches, ta'attaru bil istighfar. You know, make yourself such that the good smell of istighfar comes out of your soul. La yafzahannakum rawa'ih az-zunub. The bad odors of sins shall, don't let those bad odors of sins insult you. Every sin has a bad odor, every good deed has a nice smell. And we recognize you help your elderly father. There's a special noor and a special good smell that is coming from your soul at that time. And will remain there unless you do a sin. You, if God forbid, if you did tuhmat, you slander against a mu'min, you sit somewhere and you are gossiping, you talk bad against a fellow mu'min, or hasad about a mu'min, or tajassus, spying about the personal lives of the people. You know, well, his dad or his daughter went to Canada. Who paid her the ticket? Who are you to find out who paid her the ticket? It's none of your business. Don't try to get involved in the personal lives of the people. That's not the way it operates. If we try to get involved in personal lives of the people and find out their sins in their lives, what happens? Allah will then start finding our sins. He already knows it. What happens when Allah starts doing that? We get insulted in the community. لا تتبعوا عورات المؤمنين. Don't search about the hidden faults of the mu'mineen. Allah is covering it up. Isn't it right? He's Sataruru. He knows all those faults, but He doesn't tell my faults to the people. Allah is Sataruru. He's putting a curtain on my faults. Isn't it right? So we are supposed to do the same, become madhar and reflection of Allah's attributes. So فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَتَبَّعُ عَوْرَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ تَتَبَّعَ اللَّهُ عَوْرَاتَهُ. Because whoever searches into the private faults of others, Allah will search into his private faults.
وَمَنْ تَتَبَّعَ اللَّهُ عَوْرَاتَهُ فَضَحَهُ وَلَوْ فِي جَوْفِ بَيْتِهِ.
And whomsoever Allah starts to find his faults, Allah is going to humiliate him, although he's hiding in the inner room of his house. This is what we need to avoid in about ourselves. So the best way you want to cover your sins, cover the sins of others. If you want your sins to be protected by Allah and no one knows in the community, start protecting. As soon as you discover some mu'min did a sin, cover it up. Don't tell it, zip up your mouth. This is how you will protect your own sins. There are some people, when they find out about the sin of somebody, the first thing they do, they go and tell to their wife. Or the wife tells to her husband. As if the husband is above the law of Sharia. He doesn't have Sharia applying on his neck. Why are you telling to your husband or your wife? You know, the same Sharia applies on everybody. Just because he's your husband or, you know, she's your wife doesn't allow you to tell the sin of somebody.
You don't share everything. You don't say everything to everyone. Keep some secrets, you know. This is, you know, we need to hide, cover up the sins. If you are worried about the person sinning, if you are really serious about that, you should have done your duty. Your duty dictates, go and talk to that sister or that brother privately and do the nasihat in a respectful and civilized way. Do the amr bil ma'ruf, and then also the sin is eradicated from the society. That's the positive approach, instead of talking to someone else. This is the right thing, you know. If you find, you know, a sister doesn't wear hijab, for example, isn't it right? And I was asked about the hijab yesterday as well, you know. The minimum which is wajib for sisters, somebody has asked me. So the minimum which is wajib for the sisters to cover up is their entire body, including the feet. You can only keep your face, which is wajib to wash in wudu, this much face open, and the two hands below the wrists. You cannot apply, you know, nail polish or other adornments or rings other than the aqiq or something which is mustahab, a silver aqiq or something. So you don't do any kind of thing which is zenith in front of non-mahram people, especially when we are attending the majlis
Majlis al-Aza of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, who stood for the uplift of all the values and teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Please say salawat. So someone asked Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, and that's narrated in Kitab Al-Ihtijaj of Shaykh Tabrasi rahmatullah alayh. Someone asked Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam that alaysa tuzanul a'mal, are the actions not going to be weighed? And Imam said, la, no. لِأَنَّ الْأَعْمَالَ لَيْسَتْ أَجْسَامًا وَإِنَّمَا هِيَ صِفَةُ مَا عَمِلُوا. Because the a'mal, the actions, the deeds are not bodies. Instead, they are attribute of what they did. For example, you have hasad, is that right? I'm giving you an example, it's not part of the hadith. For example, if you have envy towards a fellow mu'min brother or sister, so you didn't get a job, he got a nice job, for example, isn't it right? Well, getting a job and not getting a job, it has nothing to do with your, necessarily with your qualification only or any other thing. It's entirely in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can tell you, doctors who have MD degrees and they're jobless. And they have been asking me to provide dua to them so they can get a job. This is what we say to our community, that you need to have trust and tawakkul and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the risk and sustenance is in His control. No one is your employer other than Allah. So we never sell our faith for the sake of the employer. Don't ever try to please your employer for the sake of compromising your values. Please say salawat. So Imam alayhi salam says, wa innama yuhtaju ila ila wazn shay'in man jahila adad al-ashya wa la ya'rifu thiqlaha. Only that one would require to do the weighing of the actions who did not know the number of the deeds and the weight of the deeds. Obviously, Allah is not like this. He knows how many deeds we have done, the number of our actions. Also, He knows, you know, what's the value, what's the weight of our actions. وَلَا يَعْرِفُ ثِقْلَهَا وَخِفَّتَهَا وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ. Whereas Allah, nothing is hidden on Him. Everything is known to Him. The number of the deeds, the weight of the deeds, or weightlessness of the sins, all that information is already known to Him. He doesn't need to weigh the actions. So this person then said to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, we have been talking about so much about weighing the actions and mizan and scale and all that, isn't it right? So obviously the person was surprised by hearing that response from the Imam. And then he says that, فَمَا مَعْنَى الْمِيزَانِ. Then what's the meaning of mizan then? We're talking about mizan and the scale will be installed on the Day of Judgment for weighing the actions of everyone. And then Imam alayhi salam replies, Al-Adl. The meaning of mizan is justice. Justice will be served. Justice will be served to everyone according to the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the meaning of mizan. Please say salawat. If a young man would say on the Day of Judgment that I did a sin because I was handsome, Allah will bring Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam in front of that person. Are you handsome or is he more handsome? Does that justify your sin? For everything there is a very nice divine arrangement for the sisters. It's Hazrat Maryam salamullah alayha. So for every kind of sin there is always a divine wisdom. So in Islam, what we are supposed to do is to take benefit from every day and night that is passing by. This is the action point. There has to be an action point, a takeaway message that we take away from every speech that we hear. Isn't it right? Here's the takeaway message. which is mentioned in the hadith of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, where Imam says, "Ma min yawmin ya'ti ala ibn Adam illa qala dhalika al-yawm ya ibn Adam ana yawmin jadid." There isn't a day, you know, that comes on a son of Adam except the day addresses the person by saying, "Ana yawmun jadid, I am a new day. Ana alayka shaheed, and I am a witness over you." The day itself is a witness, isn't it right? We have countless witnesses already available on our actions. It's like you have videotaping of people and CCTV cameras available, isn't it right? Recording everything that they did, so now they can't lie. So Allah has His own arrangement. In addition to those angels, 160 on every mu'min, which never get repeated, addition to those angels, there are countless other witnesses and shuhud available which are witnessing our deeds. And one of those shuhud and witnesses is the day itself, the seconds, the minutes, the hours, and the whole day that comes. You know, so the day itself is addressing the human. A day is a living existence. Day itself, time, is a living thing of Allah. Isn't it right? So everything is living. That's what our Urafa say, that how can we do a sin? Because everything is watching us with its eyes wide open. If there are a bunch of people standing in front of you, you're not going to do a sin, because obviously you can get insulted. Somebody can talk about you elsewhere and you get insulted. Isn't it right? So when the day itself is what is talking to us, when in the dua of the month of Ramadan, we address the month of Ramadan itself, that be a witness that I upheld your respect by fasting in you. Isn't that right? So we are talking to the month, not to any human. The month is alive. Day and night are alive. So the day says to the, every single day the sun rises, a new day comes. Well, the day doesn't start from sunrise. The day starts from the time of the Fajr, Azan of Fajr. So when the day starts, the dawn breaks, the day addresses the human being. I am a new day and I am a witness over you. فَفْعَلْ بِي خَيْرًا وَعْمَلْ فِيَّ خَيْرًا. So do good through me and do good in me. Why? And then he says, "Ashhadu laka, ushhadu laka yawm al-qiyamah, fa innaka lan tarani ba'daha abada." So I'm going to bear witness over you on the day of judgment, and you will never see me back again. So when the day comes, this is a new creation of Allah. When tomorrow comes, it's unlike today. The kind of weather, the kind of situation, the kind of things, the kind of, you know, all what is going on around you, your own personal situation, the angels are new, everything is new. Every single day is a different, new, separate creation of Allah, which has nothing to do with yesterday. It is similar, apparently similar, but it's totally different existence. And we can never see that day back again in our life. Now, what does the night say? Let's go back to the hadith. The night says that when the night comes, إِذَا أَقْبَلَ اللَّيْلِ إِذَا أَقْبَلَ, when the night comes, نَادَى مُنَادٍ بِصَوْتٍ يَسْمَعُهُ الْخَلَائِقِ, when the night comes, an announcer announces in a way that all the creatures listen to it and hear it. إِلَّا الثَّقَلَانِ, except the humans and jinns. See, the humans and jinns, we are in the examination hall. We are not supposed to be told, isn't it right? Because we are being tested. Nothing else is part of Alamut Tashri. We are part of the world of the Sharia and legislature of do's and do nots apply on us, the humans and jinns. Everything else, the animals, the birds, the fishes, the angels, everything in the universe is hearing the voice of the night. Every single night, they are hearing the voice of the night itself. The night, when the announcer is announcing, they are hearing the voice of the announcer that, "Ya ibn Adam, inni ala ma fiyya shaheed, I am a witness over what is done inside me. Fakhudh minni," that means take benefit of me. This is what the night itself is all about. That's what see when the life of Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam, he says that to the Fajr, that it never happened that the dawn broke and the Fajr saw me in the sleeping situation, in other words. It never happened once in the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So it was always, he was awake and doing the worships of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, فَإِنِّي لَوْ تَلَعَتِ الشَّمْسُ, the night says, because if the sun rises, لَمْ تُزَوِّدْ فِيَّ حَسَنَةً وَلَنْ تَسْتَعْتِبْ فِيَّ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ. If the sun rises, you cannot add anything good into me, and you cannot remove by doing tawbah, you cannot remove anything from me. This is how it is. And كَذَلِكَ يَقُولُ النَّهَارِ إِذَا أَدْبَرَ اللَّيْلِ. This narration says, in the same way, the night time, the daytime addresses a mu'min, just like the night has said. So this is how you find that they are, this. Please say salawat.
اللهم صل على محمد.
Please move forward a little bit, the sisters need a place to sit. Just brothers, just move forward. Thank you. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
And also we have this narration from the Holy Prophet where he is telling us that يُفْتَحُ لِلْعَبْدِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَلَى كُلِّ يَوْمٍ مِنْ أَيَّامِ عُمْرِهِ أَرْبَعَةٌ وَعِشْرُونَ خَزَانَةً عَدَدَ سَعَاتِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. For a person on the Day of Judgment, 24 boxes will be opened equal to the number of the hours of the day and the night. 24 boxes for every day of your life. Look at the beautiful information that Prophet is telling from the world, unseeable world for us. فَخَزَانَةٌ يَجِدُهَا مَمْلُوَّةً نُورًا وَسُرُورًا. You're talking about how we are supposed to do the muhasaba of our deeds. When we look at these ahadiths, it opens up our eyes. So Prophet says, a box, a treasure that he would open up, which will be filled up with noor, divine light. When you perform a good deed, your soul is filled up with the divine light and noor. Wasururan, and happiness. One box that guy will open belonging to 1 hour of his day or night, and you find the box he opens and finds so much noor in that treasure box and so much happiness coming out from that box. فَيَنَالُهُ عِنْدَ مُشَاهَدَتِهَا مِنَ الْفَرَحِ وَالسُّرُورِ. He would be so happy, rejoicing after opening that treasure box. For you know, and ma law wuz'a ala ahli an-nar la adhashahum an al-ihsas bi alam an-nar. If that happiness of one box related to 1 hour of your good deeds and worships that you did back then in the life of dunya, 1 hour, one box that has that noor and happiness, when you open it, if that happiness is distributed on the dwellers of the hellfire, they will forget the pain in the hellfire because of that happiness given to them. This is about the happiness of just one box which relates to 1 hour of your worships of Allah. Obviously, hellfire, you know, has way more people as compared to the heaven, isn't that right? Heaven is bigger than the hellfire. Rahmat of Allah is you know, ahead of His ghadab and wrath. Isn't it right? And hellfire is smaller as compared to the heaven, which is, you know, much bigger. So we find that and majority is in the hellfire. Despite the fact that hell has the majority, one box of worships is enough to make all of them forget their pain for that time. And then Prophet says, ثُمَّ يُفْتَحْ لَهُ خَزَانَةً أُخْرَى فَيَرَاهَا مُظْلَمَةً مُنَتَّنَةً مُفْزِعَةً. Then he will open another box. The guy will open another box related to his life. And he find this box is مُظْلَمَة, is dark. مُنَتَّنَة, having bad smell coming from it. Mufzi'ah, it's scary. And then فَيَنَالُهُ عِنْدَ مُشَاهَدَتِهَا مِنَ الْفَزَعِ وَالْجَزَعِ. He would be screaming and scared at the time of opening that box. As if you are scared from something, he would be scared at the time of opening and that box, screaming. مَا لَوْ قُسِّمَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ لَنَغَّطَ عَلَيْهِمْ نَعِيمَهَا. If that bad odor and that scare, that bad odor of that one box would be distributed to all the people of the heaven, they would forget the blessings of Allah. This one box is enough to make all of them forget the blessings. And then Prophet says, وَهِيَ السَّعَةُ الَّتِي أَصَفِيهَا رَبَّهُ. That's the box related to that hour of his life, that hour when he did a sin. The same bad order that I was talking about minutes ago, the same bad order is now depicted in, and you will see, you know, it's a tangible thing. You will end up seeing it on the Day of Judgment, coming out from that box which is related to that hour of your life, where a person did the sin. And then the Prophet says, ثُمَّ يُفْتَحْ لَهُ خَزَانَةً أُخْرَىٰ. Then he would open another box, another treasure box. فَيَرَاهَا فَارِغَةً. He would find it vacant, void. فَلَيْسَ فِيهَا مَا يَسُرُّهُ وَلَا مَا يَسُوءُهُ. It doesn't have neither anything that makes him happy, nor anything that makes him bad. وَهِيَ السَّاعَةِ الَّتِي نَامَ فِيهَا. And that's the time when he was sleeping. أو اشتغل فيها بشيء من ساعات مباحات الدنيا. Or he was engaged in any of the mubah things of this dunya. Okay to do and okay not to do. Walking, talking, sleeping, isn't it right? All these things which are mubah. So now he would, those times when you were engaged in the mubah thing, you open the box and you find nothing. What would happen to that person when he finds nothing? Prophet says, فَيَنَالُهُ مِنَ الْغَبْنِ عَلَىٰ فَوَاتِهَا حَيْثُ كَانَ مُتَمَكِّنًا مِنْ أَنْ يَمْلَأَهَا حَسَنَاتٍ مَا لَا يُوصَفْ. So he would now feel a failure, a loss. This is how a person would feel. A failure, he's a loser, he's lost. Because he could have filled up this box too with that noor and surur and happiness, but he failed to do that. That's why our scholars say we perform everything qurbatanillah. Even if you go to sleep, you do the wudu and go to sleep, you get the reward as if you are worshipping Allah through your up all the night. If you sleep, qurbatan ilallah. If you talk to people, qurbatan ilallah. If you walk around, qurbatan ilallah, with the niyat of, you know, seeking nearness to Allah. You eat food, so you get strong, so you can serve Allah and His mission. You drink water, you drink juice, so you get strong, so you can serve Allah's mission. Then drinking water is no longer mubah. It becomes converted into mustahab. This is what our urafa do. Everything they do in their life is either a wajib or a mustahab. They never perform a haram, obviously. They never do any makruh thing, nor do they perform any mubah thing in their life, which is okay to do and okay not to do, because they convert those mubah things into mustahab because they do it for the sake of Allah. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So this is how it would happen to the people about the Day of Judgment when they are going to open up those boxes. So every action, everything that we perform in our box, we could have said, Ya Hussein at that time. We could have said, you know, Ya Ali, said La ilaha illallah, any zikr of Allah at that time. Isn't it right? Although the real zikr is not that we orally talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the real zikr is zikrun amali. How Ayatullah al-Udhma Bahjat rahmatullah alayh used to say, the actual zikr which we are required to do, the actual zikr is the zikrun amali, the practical remembrance of Allah. But we are focusing on the zikrun lisani, the oral remembrances as well, because the scholars of akhlaq say that the oral remembrance is expected to take you towards the practical remembrance as well. There's a hope if you keep on remembering Allah orally, a time would arrive that your parts of the body will also remember. Your eyes will become zakir, remembering Allah. Your ears will become zakir in the remembrance of Allah, in the zikr of Allah. Your tongue will become zakir, your stomach will become zakir, and so on and so forth. That's how a person will end up remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So it is the level that our scholars reach in their when they cross the stages of marifat. You know, some of our urufa, it has been narrated, when they used to go for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, they used to see Imam Hussain alayhi salam right there, sitting there, present there, physically seeing the Imam. I mean, really, literally seeing the Imam. By physically, I mean literally seeing him. When they come into the majlis of Sayyidul Shuhada alayhi salam in majlis al-Aza, someone is talking about Hazrat Ali ibn Asghar alayhi salam, they see in front of their eyes that situation where Ali ibn Asghar alayhi salam was present, they see him. Somebody has talked about Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam, they are seeing him. They are hearing the voices of the children of Ahlul Bayt, Al-Atash, you know, who calling for water. They are hearing the voices. The voices are still there. The urufa hear it.
We don't hear it. This is, you know, we are blocked away from that information, but that doesn't mean it's not there. Now someone in the hadith of the Holy Prophet, he says, please say salawat.
What are those things which have the heaviest weight in the mizan? We learn in the hadith of the Holy Prophet where he says, مَا مِن شَيْءٍ يُضَعُ فِي الْمِيزَانِ أَثْقَلُ مِن حُسْنِ الْخُلْقِ. There isn't anything which has more weight in the mizan, in the scale. There isn't anything which has more weight in the scale and more than حُسْنُ الْخُلْقِ, good morals. This has the most weight that could be there. Husnul khulq, good behavior. Even if a person has sins, but he has good morals and attitude and behavior, Allah forgives all of his sins, for sure. Because good behavior is so much beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the opposite is true as well. If a person has very nice hasanat and good deeds, but he's sayyul khulq, he's bad behavior, bad tempered person, no matter what good deed you do, it's all wasted and gone. And even your tawbah is not accepted. The hadith says, Aballahu li sahibil khulq sayyi at tawbata li'annahu kullama kharaja min dhanbin dakhala fi akhar. Allah rejects to accept the tawbah of a person who has bad morals, because whenever he comes out from one sin, he enters into the other.
This is the status of bad sin, and this is the highness of good deeds, good akhlaq and morals.
The Holy Prophet is the madhar of all the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of his attributes and names, isn't it right? Without exception. And all of those names are great, and all of that reflection is great as well. But Allah did not mention any of his sifat with the attribute of azim and great in the Holy Quran, other than the morality of Rasulullah. Because prophets, Allah has said about the Prophet, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ.
Certainly you are on the exalted character. Allah could have said, certainly you perform Salatul Layl better than the rest of the humanity. Certainly you say the truth better than the rest of the humanity, which he always says the truth, isn't it right? You are the most Ameen and taking care of the entrusted trusts of the people. That could also have been said, mentioning it to be the best of his attributes.
Everything of his was best, but nothing of his good, great attributes were mentioned with the attribute of azamat and greatness other than his akhlaq. So how much is a prophet's akhlaq? Prophet akhlaq is such that if he's walking in the alley and he finds bunch of children there, and the children say to him, you know, we want you to be our camel, become a camel for us. We want a ride.
Prophet is the greatest human, greatest soul ever created by Allah.
The first creation number one of Allah. كان الله ولم يكن معه شيء.
Prophet said, Allah was there and there was nothing along with him.
أول ما خلق الله نوري. The first thing Allah created was my light.
Some of the hadith says, أول ما خلق الله الأقل. The first thing Allah created was the intellect. Al-Aql al-Awwal is a laqab and title of the Holy Prophet. He is the first intellect. Top to bottom, he is nothing but aql and intellect. أول ما خلق الله القلم. He is called Al-Qalam al-Awwal, the first pen. Al-Aql al-Awwal, the first intellect. An-Nur al-Awwal, the first light. You know, As-Sadr al-Awwal, the first product. The greatest of all the human, the whole universe is created to be his slave and servant and submissive to his commands. Having al-walayatul mutlaqa at-takwiniyya, absolute authority and power and control and governance on everything. Everything reports back to him. He is the commander-in-chief of the universe. That kind of human being, which every prophet is under his command and banner. Didn't he say, Adam wa man dunahu tahta liwa'i? Adam and anyone after, other than him are under my banner. They're all obedient to him. They all get the ni'mats and blessings of Allah through the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Allahumma salli ala
Muhammad wa ali.
They used to seek their du'as. The prophets, the rest of the prophets used to seek their du'as through the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt.
This is the status of the Prophet. If, you know, his highness is unthinkable, unfathomable. And that kind of messenger is walking in the alley and the children ask him, hey, we get a little bit of position and look at the, how some people behave. After getting little bit of money, this little bit of what kind of car they drive, and you see how arrogant they sound when they talk to people.
Isn't it right?
Everything is created for him and is servant for him. And look at his humbleness. He takes each and every children turn by turn and makes them sit over him.
Didn't repel the children. Children are asking him to be their camel. They want a ride. He takes every single child without exception, turn by turn, makes him sit over him. And finally the narration says, the Muazzin said the Adhan in Medina, in the Masjid al-Nabi. When the Azan's voice was heard, Prophet didn't just rush to the Azan, to the prayers like that, leaving all the kids aside. He could have done that, isn't it right? He had no obligation, didn't sign any contract with anybody, isn't it right? But this is how his morals was. Yeah, he's engaging with people, there are children who are talking to him. How can he just leave like that?
So he said to him, your camel needs to go, let him, set him free. Can you imagine? And then he says, sell your camel.
To set him free, in other words. Sell your camel. And they said, what's the price? He said, I have been gifted seven girdu, akhrot. Walnuts. Thank you.
I have been gifted, somebody gifted me seven walnuts. So, seven walnuts is the price. What if I, in other words, if I pay you seven walnuts, you set me free. And he gives seven walnuts to the kids and they let him go.
This is the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Peace say salawat. And when he got close to the masjid, he was crying. And one of the ashab asked him, why are you crying? He said, they sold me for a lesser price than the price of Yusuf. Remember, Prophet Yusuf was also sold as a slave. They were crooked and stupid and evil and ignorant people who are buying. Anyone who buys a prophet knowingly that he's a prophet is definitely a crooked person.
Prophets cannot be sold. They are not a commodity to be sold. That's an insult.
Isn't that right?
But Prophet Yusuf was also sold, and you know, some of the narrations, some of the histories say about
7 dirhams or 11 dirhams, something like that. وَشَرَوْهُ بِسَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ And Quran has said, "Kanu fihi min al-zahidin." They were didn't have any i'tina, didn't care about him. That's such a careless and not giving no importance to the Prophet. Just how they behaved to Prophet Yusuf. Her Prophet was crying when he said that they sold me for a lesser price than Yusuf. But he still upholds his high akhlaq. Isn't it right? This is how is the highness of Rasulullah.
So when he finds, whenever the history says, he finds someone who loves Imam Hussein. Whenever. Prophet used to love that person or that child. He said, Al-Hasan wa Al-Hasan, Husaynu minni wa ana min Husayn, Ahabba Allahu man ahabba Husayna. Husayn is from me and I am from Husayn. And Allah loves the one who loves Husayn. So if you want to become beloved in the eyes of Rasulullah, that Rasulullah ends up loving you, then we need to love Imam Husayn. The more we love Imam Husayn, the closer we get in his love towards us.
Prophet saw a child, and as soon as he saw him, he went to him, and he hugged him, and he expressed his love towards the child. Somebody asked him why. The Prophet said the same thing, what he said, similar to Habib ibn Mubahir.
Because he saw this child walking behind Husayn alayhi salam, he was picking up the soil from under his feet and pouring over his head.
Ayatollah Ja'far Shustari rahmatullah alayhi said that child was Zuhair. One of the companions of, he's the Shaheed in Shuhada of Karbala, is Zuhair. Whenever Prophet is used to see Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, every time he used to see Imam al-Husayn, he used to kiss Imam al-Husayn. Look at the extent of the love for Imam al-Husayn. Whoever wants to look at ila ahabbi ahlil ardi was sama, whoever wants to look at someone who is the most beloved person in the heaven, among the dwellers of heaven and the earth, should falyanzur ila al-Husayn. He should look towards Husayn. There's no one more beloved among the dwellers of heaven and the earth than Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. So anyone who loves Imam al-Husayn becomes beloved. And this is one of the major reasons why Muslim ibn Aqil alayhi salam is also beloved in the eyes of Rasulullah.
Didn't the Prophet say to Imam Ali alayhi salam that inni uhibbu aqilan hubbayni? I love Aqil. Dual love, two loves, hubbayni, hubban lahu wa hubban li hubbi abi talibin lahu.
Now one love is for the sake of Aqil, for the sake of him. That means he himself deserves to be loved. Aqil is so high that he deserves to be loved.
And hubban li hubbi abi talibin lahu. The second love is because Abu Talib loves him.
So Hazrat Abu Talib's love for Aqil alayhi salam also is a reason and incentive why Prophet also loves anyone who can be loved by Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi salam. Prophet will also love him. This is how Hazrat Abu Talib is. This shows the highness of Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi salam.
And then Prophet says to Imam alayhi salam, "Wa inna waladahu lamaktulun fi mahabbati waladika." And definitely his son, that means the son of Aqil, Muslim ibn Aqil, will be killed in the love of your son.
That means Husayn alayhi salam. Isn't it right?
So Muslim ibn Aqil will be slaughtered in the love of your son. What a great level. Congratulations to you, Muslim ibn Aqil. You are being killed in the love of Husayn. What a higher status could be. What status could be higher than that? A person gets slaughtered in the love of Husayn.
And then Prophet says, "Tadma alayhi uyunul mu'mineen." The eyes of the believers will shed tears on him, on Muslim, that means.
"Wa tusalli alayhi al-malaikatul muqarrabun."
And Allah's clothes, the clothes angels will send salawat on him.
Till the day of judgment, we find that the mu'mineen will continue to shed tears over Muslim ibn Aqil. And till the day of judgment, the angels of Allah will continue to send there. The close angels of Allah will continue to send salawat on him. This is the highness of Muslim ibn Aqil. But how lowly was he treated by the people of Kufa? Then he comes, there are 4,000 people who are supporting him, doing the bay'at, doing his support, I mean, supporting him. And Ibn Makhnaf, Maqtal of Ibn Makhnaf, Ibn Makhnaf says that 4,000 were in his support. And then he comes, the time of prayers arrive in Kufa. And people are, look at the mentality of the Kufans in those days. A lot of them, not all, obviously there were some very good people also around. But a lot of them having this kind of mentality. They're ready to pray behind Muslim ibn Aqil, but not ready to support the walayat of Hussein alayhi salam and his deputy. Same situation today. People are ready to pray and fast, isn't it right? When it comes to supporting the walayat of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam or the walayat of his deputy, no. This is the mal'oon, this is the cursed Islam, the Islam upon which we send la'nat. We proudly send la'nat on the people of Kufa when we read the Ziyarat of Ashura. Islam minus politics. The beautiful example is the one displayed by people of Kufa, ready to pray behind Muslim ibn Aqil and fast. You never find in any history that a woman in Kufa took off their hijab and that's why we send la'nat upon them. No. They used to wear hijab as well. They were praying behind Muslim Aqil. They did not quit prayers. They were fasting. They used to go for Hajj. They used to give khums as well. What was missing is the walayat. 4,000 people in support, according to Ibn Makhnaf. The time of prayers arrived. And there are 300 people praying the prayers in jamaat behind, in congregation behind Muslim Aqil. And after that, when he heads towards the royal compound, there were 30 people precisely, 30 accompanying him. When he gets, the mothers are coming, grabbing the hands of their children, you need to go back to your house, you need to go back to your house, and you don't need to support Muslim Aqil, go back to your house, go back to your house. Mothers are grabbing the hands of their children, sons taking away, leaving Muslim Aqil alone. So, 30 people when he's getting close to the royal compound of Ibn Ziyad. And then when he enters into, you know, when he enters inside the royal compound, steps inside, there's no person at all with him. 4,000, 300, 30 and zero. That's the downtrend and the graph of the behavior of people of Kufa towards the walayat and imamat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The way we behave towards the deputy is what we are behaving towards the imam actually. Isn't it right? 4,330 and zero support for Imam Hussein. What else they would get? La'nat. Isn't it right? So that's what they got. Now Muslim ibn Aqil steps into the royal compound, the Darul Amara. And now he's a stranger. He doesn't know the direction. He doesn't belong to the city of Kufa. He's wandering in the streets like that. He'd have no one to provide food for him. He's hungry. There's no one to provide water to him. He's thirsty. Finally, he finds a house and he sits in front of the house of a Tawa, this Mu'mina lady. And the lady comes out and he sees there's a stranger sitting in the doorstep, close to the door. And this man says to her, Ya Amatullah isqini ma'an, the servant of Allah, give me water. She brings water. It's so much sawab in Islam anyways to provide water, even to the animals. Isn't it right? Even to the kuffar, Imam Ali didn't stop the supply of water for the army of Muawiyah, whom we consider to be kafirs. So we find there's a different ruling for providing food for the kuffar harbiyin. But there's a different ruling applied about the water. Water cannot be stopped, even towards the harbi kuffar, who are at war with Islam. So he's asking water from Tawa. She brings water for this person and she goes back again. After a while, Tawa comes out and she finds the stranger is still sitting in front of her house. And she says, why don't you go back to your home? And he says, well, you know, someone who doesn't have a home, where would he go? And she says, would you introduce yourself? And he says that do you know Hussein ibn Ali? Definitely, he's my imam. Do you know Muslim ibn Aqil? He's the brother of my imam. Then he introduces himself. I am Muslim ibn Aqil.
As soon as she, this mu'mina, hears that response that this is Hazrat Muslim, she opens the door for Hazrat Muslim, that this is your house, Mawla, we can come inside. Hazrat Muslim comes inside into the basement of that mu'mina, and he spends his entire night in the ibadat and the tilawat of Quran and worships of Allah until the time and the morning arrives, and he hears the voice of the horses of the army of Ibn Ziyad coming towards him. He understands that they are coming after him. So he comes out. He himself comes out of the, steps out of the house of this mu'mina. So the enemy soldiers do not enter into the house of a lady, of a respectable lady. I would like to look at the ghairat of Hazrat Muslim Aqil. I would like to say to him, please come and see in the time of the Asr of Ashura, when the enemy soldiers are burning the tents of the Ahlul Haram and the ladies are running away to protect their hijab. Nasharat al-shu'ur, latimat al-wuju, and their hair is visible and they're beating over their faces. We find that Muslim Naqil comes out and now the battle starts when he fights a brave battle, and then when he gets captured finally, and he's bleeding all over and he's injured, and he's being brought into the darbar of the Taghut ibn Ziyad, and the person standing at the gate of the entrance, he says to him, Sallim alal Amir, say your salam to the ruler, to the commander, that is Ibn Ziyad. He says, Mali Amirun Siwal Hussein, I don't have any Amir other than Hussein. We say our salam on you, Muslim Naqil, saying the word of truth on the face of a zalim. What a great jihad you did, you find. And then Muslim Naqil, finally, when the death is announced for him and he's taken over the rooftop where his head would be cut off, he seeks permission to pray 2 rakats of prayers. He prays his final 2 rakats of prayers. This is how the Ahlul Bayt are. They always remember Allah. And then finally he says salam to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. What a great level of Muslim Naqil, that finally he's remembering Imam al-Hussein. That shows his love for Imam al-Hussein. And Imam al-Hussein at that time was on his way towards Iraq. When he gets the news of Muslim ibn Aqil becoming shaheed, he brings the daughter of Muslim ibn Aqil and makes her sit over his lap and rubs his hand over the head of this orphan daughter. And there is so much sawab in Islam to rub your hand over the head of the orphan child. And this daughter says to Imam al-Hussein that, Mawla, in other words, you are rubbing your hand over my head as if I became an orphan. And Imam Hussein says, if you don't have your father, then Hussein is your father. Look at the love and mercy of Imam al-Hussein. And Hazrat Sakina was watching this conversation between Imam Hussein and the daughter of Hazrat Muslim. And finally, on the day of Ashura, when Imam al-Hussein was departing after the fair, doing farewell with everyone, he hears the voice of someone chasing behind him. As he turns around, he sees it's his own daughter Sakina coming behind her dad. Imam Hussein gets off the horse and finds his daughter, and Sakina says to her dad that, that make me sit in your lap and rub your hand over my head the way you did towards the daughter of Muslim, because I know you're not going to come back.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين ذا سيم الولي الفقي قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Let's read the ayat al-kareema for all the mu'mineen who have hajat and all those who have requested for dua, especially those who are ill and all the mustada'afin and mahrumin and mazloomin in the Islamic Ummah, especially those who are defending the haram of Sayyida Zainab sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Amman yujibul mutarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu su' Amman yujibul mutarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu يكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء يا حسين.